Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. I'm excited about it. I have high anticipation. I did get to text a little bit with our evangelist, and he just came in from California. I know he's been galloping around the world. I know he's got a new wife since last time he was here. His wife and his boy will be here with him, which I really like it when evangelists bring their families with. Because we are a family-oriented church, and I just think it adds a whole nother good element. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. Amen. Turn with me. Philippians chapter 2, beginning to read there at verse number 1. I was a little bit kind of... There was a lot of things in my mind for this service tonight. You know, I could teach on evangelism. Everyone win one, you know, or it's the job of the church to witness. It's the job of the church to bring in. But then I got to thinking about it. What's the best thing I could possibly say? And the best thing that I could possibly say is Jesus. Amen. If I can just get people to know Jesus, all the other stuff is going to work itself out. Amen. If I can get closer to Jesus, then my way will be established. Amen. So my Bible study tonight is on the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we put Him first, all the other stuff is taken care of. Amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, beginning to read there, verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man into his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This is my topic, the name above every name. Amen. It's Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, our goal tonight, Lord, is to exalt your name, to lift you up, God, to give you praise, to honor, Lord, the name that is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, by your name are we saved. Lord, it is by your name that we are healed. It is, Lord, in the name of Jesus that all things are possible. Lord, I pray your will for this service. Lord, help us, God, even right now, in Jesus' name, to know your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. There's never been another saving name. The only saving name that has ever been is Jesus. Praise the Lord. There's no greater name than the name of Jesus. We have the promise of His presence when we gather in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our highest privilege is to call upon the name of Jesus. I have found myself when I get in a predicament, when I get in a really bad place, if it's an emergency, I'm going to say, Jesus. I've almost, a couple times, I've almost had somebody come in the wrong lane. Jesus! They guide me off over the curb and over the and back on the road, and everything's okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Believe it or not, I've been attacked by a demon. You know what I did? Jesus! That thing fled to flee. That's a story all in itself. But you can, at the mention of His name, I mean, in a moment, as quick as you can think it, there's power in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. No other name like the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I was named after an uncle. And my son was named after me. And, you know, that often happens where a dad will give the name to the son that, you know, junior or whatever. You get the idea. Or in our day, sometimes names have significant meaning. But in the Bible days, names had significant meaning. Names were very important. For example, Abraham, father of a great multitude. It was a promise to him from God. Amen. No, it came true, but man, it took a whole lifetime to get there. You know, God is always faithful. Amen. It doesn't always happen when we want it to, but God always keeps His word. And God is always right on time. Amen. How about Naomi? When she got in a bad place and she had to flee because of the famine, and she went into another land and her husband died, and then her two boys died, and she went out full and came back what she thought was empty. When she returned to her homeland, she felt like that she was stripped of all things that were valuable. She changed her name to Mara. In the Hebrew, that means bitter. You know, the names had meaning. When God uses a name, it always fits His nature. He, God, chose a name which is beautiful and encompasses His redemption and His sovereignty. I'm going to be talking about the name of Jesus tonight. It has very significant meaning. Amen. God told Moses that His name is Jehovah. Jehovah represented God's involvement with Israel in redemption. It was how they were to be saved. He began by delivering Israel from Egypt. He brought them out by His mighty hand, by a miraculous intervention. It was a miracle that God delivered his people. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It was a fabulous thing to have the very presence of God dwelling among the people. The tabernacle was very carefully crafted by the word of God. They did exactly what they were told to do, and it was a very significant centerpiece of their culture. At night, there was a fire. In the daytime, there was a cloud. And when the cloud or the fire moved, whether it was at night or in the day, they followed the presence of God. It was very significant. It was supernatural. God told Moses that Jehovah signified that God is the I am that I am. He was revealing his nature, his characteristics. He was revealing to his people a glimpse of who he is. I am that I am, meaning his eternal, that he is eternally sovereign. Forever. From the beginning until the end. You see, the great benefit of that name is salvation. One of the Hebrew words for salvation is Yeshua, or I was trying to get myself to pronounce the Jewish words correctly. My wife is smiling at me. Yawshah. That's not Yahweh. I think Yeshua, Jehovah Yeshua, became Joshua. The Greek form of Joshua is Jesus. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of the I am that I am. He is the fulfillment of all that the Old Testament told about the great God of creation, Jehovah. Joshua is Jesus. The name of Jesus. You see, the right to determine a child's name belongs to the parents. It's a important part of parenthood. Picking out the name of your children is an important part of what's going to happen following. God, the sovereign, almighty, heavenly Father, gave the name Jesus to his only Son. The name Jesus encompasses all that Jehovah is and all that he planned to accomplish. The angel told that the purpose of calling the child Jesus was because he would save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So Joseph and Mary were directed to call that child's name Jesus. See, he was to do more than teach us of God. He was God. He must do more than teach us the way of salvation. He became our salvation. It was inherited from his Father. Hebrews chapter 1, let me use scripture for what I'm saying here. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There was no comparison between an angel and their creator. God robed himself in the form of Jesus. Man, it is a spectacular thing. You know, to not be confused. Well, there's a Father and there's a Son and there's a Holy Spirit. Well, who's sitting on the throne? Jesus is sitting on the throne. Well, then, who is the Father? Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. You know, in my early days, you know, I've had people tell me or state to me, oh, you're one of those Jesus-only people? Man, I'm Jesus everything. Amen. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus is my God, my Savior, my hope, my glory. Amen. He's my salvation, my strong tower, my buckler, my shield, my hope, my faith. He's everything to me. Amen. Something, you know, Jesus inherited. It says, in verse number 4 of Hebrews 1, being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Something inherited is possessed by another beforehand. Jesus could say, I am come in my Father's name. John 5:43. You see, our blessings, our privilege, our blessings are in the name of Jesus. When I pray in the name of Jesus. When I get up, it should be in the name of Jesus. When I go to bed, it should be in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I go out to do something, it should be in the name of Jesus. When I preach, it's always in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I teach, it's in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, Jesus, he bare our transgressions. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I thank God for that verse. I thank God that when I messed up, Jesus took care of my sin. That Jesus forgave me. That Jesus washed away my sins when I was baptized in Jesus' name. I thank God that I was healed in Jesus' name. I've seen literally hundreds, multiples of hundreds of people healed in Jesus' name. With my own eyes. I'm not just talking about reading it in the Bible. I'm not talking about reading a missionary book. I'm talking about seeing it with my own eyes, live, in action, God doing miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, he purchased salvation by his own death. You know, I'm almost, and I understand people's intention when they say, well, God sent his only son. But really what it's saying is God gave himself for our sin. He purchased our salvation by his own death. What good father would sacrifice his son? No. Man, I would give my life to save my child or my grandchild or one of you. But God gave himself willingly that he would purchase our salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and also verse 8, it says, verse 6 in Romans 5, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. While you were still a drunkard, while you were still messed up, while you were still in a sinful state, while you were without God, even back then, God was willing to give himself for you. For me, when I was undone and without God, that is when God called me unto himself. Amen. Verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, way back then, Christ died for us. When we were undone, that's when he chose us to come unto himself. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody breathing that has ever been on earth that was perfect except Jesus Christ. He is the only one that would even qualify to be a sacrifice for sin. Every other death would have had a sin stain on it. The name of Jesus makes salvation possible. When we repent, ask God to forgive us, turn from our wicked way. When we are baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ in water, for the remission of sins, just like it says in that verse right there, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is a foundational promise from God. This is God's plan. And it's irrevocable, unchangeable. God's not going to change his mind, and no man can change it. It's already done. See, the name of Jesus makes this possible. We may be familiar with the name, and we must use the name of Jesus, by the way. We're doing it right. We're supposed to pray in Jesus' name. We're supposed to baptize in Jesus' name. That's the only name in the entirety of the Bible that anyone was ever baptized. It was in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. It is true, we are supposed to use that name. But unless we obey the will of God, he will someday say, I never, it's a scary, scary, scary thought. Can you imagine God saying to you, I never knew you? Man, that's a scary thought. That's how important the name of Jesus. You will not be saved without the name of Jesus Christ. It is the only saving name. Amen. Let me go on to Scripture. Matthew chapter 7. Let me We begin reading there at verse 23. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Kind of, it puts a bright spotlight. Now we got to be a doer of his word. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. It's a question mark. People are doing stuff in Jesus' name. Verse number 23 says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Man, we got to be really, really careful on how we follow the Word of God. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these words of mine and doeth them. We got to be a doer. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. I got to pause right there for just a moment. What happens if we don't do what the Word of God says? What happens if we don't pray in Jesus' name? If we don't baptize in Jesus' name? If we don't receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name? If we don't believe in Jesus' name? Isn't it good enough to say, oh, Heavenly Father? Good beginning. But I like to use the name of Jesus. I want to practice using the name of Jesus. When you pray, use the name of Jesus. When you repent, repent to Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Use the name of Jesus. Where did I? 25? Is that where I'm? 26. Verse 26. Let me pick up there. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. It's amazing. What do you mean? It's so important that you would disregard what the bishops say, what the tradition says. You're going to disregard what a church says, if it's other than the Word of God, the answer is yes. You got to do what's in the Word. You got to use the name. The point of my message tonight is we got to use the name Jesus. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus taught in a whole new manner. You see, his presence comes in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And you can just, and I've been in prayer meeting with just two believers and had a phenomenal move of God. I tell you, I was with my buddy Mike Webb, which I just talked to him a week ago. And fond remembrances of my friend. We would pick the middle of the night when we had all-night prayer meeting. He and I would pick the same hour to pray at night. We'd come in the middle of the night to the church house and pray for an hour. And it was, there was one time he was praying on that side and I was praying on this side, and we were both just out loud worshiping God with all of our heart. And he said to me afterward, the sun was coming up and we were in the parking lot just getting ready to go home, you know that while we were praying, it felt like my feet left the ground. It felt like I was waving my hands and my feet were dangling in the air. I told him, I felt the same thing. In the middle of the night, I was praying for the people we were having Bible study with, home Bible studies. I was praying for my mom who was blind, and the doctors had tried to help her and everything was unsuccessful and she still couldn't see. And I had talked to her and she was depressed and she was broken and she was distraught. She was in a very bad way, and I was praying for her that night. I talked to her in the morning, that morning, that we could feel the presence of the Lord lifting us up. And when I talked to her that morning, she said, when I opened my eyes, I could see. God healed me in the middle of the night. Some people may say, oh, that was a coincidence. You're not going to convince me of that. I could tell you where I was. I was standing in the air, worshiping the Lord in the front of the church on the left-hand side in the middle of the night when that happened. I'm telling you, God, the name of Jesus, when you invoke the name of Jesus, all things are possible. All things are possible. His presence comes in the name of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was manifested only in rare occasions. Sometimes the presence of God wasn't recorded as moving for hundreds of years. Rare occasions, the burning bush, the flame over the temple, the handwriting on the wall. There were times that the presence of God moved. But I tell you, I have felt the presence of God move thousands of times. And it feels so good every time. I'm hooked on it. It's like I want to get more of it. I want to feel that presence again. I want it to be a part of my life every single day. I want God in my life. I want to feel the presence of God. Well, to feel the presence of God, you've got to use the name of Jesus. If you want to go to a dry, dead, dull, boring service, let them use all the heretofores and thous and know Jesus. It's going to be dead, dry, dull, and boring, in my opinion. You got to use the name of Jesus to feel His presence. Amen. You see, today, that presence is manifested when we call on the name of Jesus in truth. God's presence in the Bible, and even now, it comes to uplift and encourage. It happened to Elijah. Maybe you've been lifted up and encouraged in the name of Jesus. It comes for the presence of God gives us strength. How do you think Samson tore the gates off that city wall and carried them over the hill? It wasn't by his physical strength, it was by a divine intervention. The churches in the New Testament, the churches of Asia, the converts on the day of Pentecost, the work that Paul and Barnabas were called unto. In the Old Testament, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fire. How about Peter? Again and again and again in Scripture, God moved upon people. God moves upon people today in the name of Jesus. We invoke God's name, then that draws His presence. We need the presence of the one and the only one who can save. It's Jesus. Our needs are supplied through His name. Paul said that the supplying of our needs was by Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. I heard this story about a poor boy, and he was walking along the beach and he saw another lad, and he was having trouble out there in the water swimming. And to keep that boy out there from drowning, that poor boy jumped just as he was, jumped into the water, went over there and saved that boy's life. That boy that he saved, the young man, the youth. You see, he was a wealthy guy, wealthy from a wealthy family. And his father came to the poor boy there on the beach after he was saved. And he promised to give any amount to him because he was so grateful. Out of gratitude, he wanted to give this boy that saved his son something wonderful. What would you like to have, was his question. I want to give it to you. Ask anything you want. The poor boy replied, I'd like to have a bag of peanuts. You know, God wants to give us good things. I'm telling you, God wants you to be blessed. God wants to give you salvation, of course. It's in His Word. It's a promise from God. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to have what you need. God wants to give you blessings beyond your current understanding. God can give you more than just peanuts. Amen. You see, God supplied the manna out of heaven to the entirety of the nation of Israel every day in the wilderness. Then, just because they wanted some meat, and I can understand that, I'm a carnivore. I like meat sometimes too. Well, anybody ever ate a quail? It's a little tiny bird that one person can eat. I could eat the whole thing by myself. He's just a little bird. How many quail would it take to feed a million people. And then have it happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And day after day, after month, after year, for 40 years in the wilderness, God supplied their need every day. It's almost unthinkable when you if you were to do the calculations. But God did the miraculous. Notice, though, God did not offer supplies to be hoarded for the future. They could gather 2 days' worth on the day before the Sabbath only. If they gathered 2 days' worth on any other time, by the next morning, by the second day, it was rotten and had worms and stank, and you couldn't even eat it. It was only good for 1 day. But then God gave you fresh food that day for that need. Amen. From Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 10. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I'm convinced that God has blessed me in my life. Amen. I'm convinced that I have a good life because God has blessed me. I'm convinced of it. No one could tell me any different because I know that it's true. God's blessings have blessed my life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God can bless you with things you didn't even think of. Amen. You see, our God awaits a call upon his name. Use the name of Jesus. We know the power of the name of Jesus because we are his people and we call upon his name. Jesus Christ, the highest name. There is no other name higher than the name of Jesus. Some Bible characters we know nothing about beyond their names. They lived, they begat children. Maybe they discussed the weather, said goodnight to one another, and they died. They never did anything worthy of any more recognition than the recording of their names. And there are also Bible characters whose lives fulfilled the name that was given unto them. Abraham became a father of many nations. Amen. Multitudes was the promise. And it's true. You see, the name of Jesus shines like the sun in the midst of heaven, blotting out the stars in its brilliance. The name is not just a few words in a biographical list. The name of Jesus Christ is the most exalted name in human history. None other name is like the name of Jesus. Demons flee at the name of Jesus. Saints rejoice in the name of Jesus. Disasters are averted in the name of Jesus. Fears are calmed in the name of Jesus. The name Jesus Christ signifies a life of servitude and obedience, even unto death. He gave himself a sacrifice for sin. Once he had suffered, Jesus Christ was highly exalted and given a name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess the glory of God. You might as well go ahead and do it ahead of time. Everybody's going to admit it. Everybody's going to proclaim it. You might as well do it willingly ahead of time. Amen. In fact, we read that in our opening text, Philippians 2. See, a greater than any Old Testament, Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Jehovah titles. You know, Jehovah Jireh, provider, that's Jesus. Jehovah Rapha, or Raphika, healer. Jehovah Shalom, peace. Jehovah Makadishkam, sanctifier. I was working on these names at the dinner table with my wife. It's still, I don't normally call Jesus by these names. I just call him Jesus. Jehovah Zitkadu, Jesus, or righteous God. Jehovah Shammah, ever present. Jehovah Elon, most high. You know, they, Jehovah or God, and then they would name, he's the provider, healer, peace, sanctifier. He's the banner. He's the leader in battle, the righteous God, ever present and most high. They would try to describe him with those names. But his name is Jesus. And he fulfills all of those things. All these names, these exemplified traits of God are in the name of Jesus. Many omnis in the Bible. Omnipotence, all powerful. Omnipresence, he's everywhere all at once. Omniscience, he knows everything. You can't hide from God. Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Just One, the Holy and the Just, the Holy and Righteous One, the Holy One God, the Faithful and True Witness, the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, the King of Saints, King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible, the Righteous Judge, the Judge of all the earth, Desire of all nations, Ensign of the people. It's Jesus. Jesus was really everything in the Old Testament. He's everything that the Old Testament spoke of. He fulfilled all that they said he would be. Yes, he is wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He's teacher and master and Rabboni. He's governor, lawgiver, redeemer, Messiah, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Deliverer, mediator, intercessor, a prince and a savior, the mighty to save. Jesus. All this we find encompassed in the name of Jesus Christ. Greater than any name in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. He's exalted above creation, the day star, forerunner of all that begins in creation. He's a sword and shield and buckler against, or he's greatest in battle. He is the Most High. He rises above every king and potentate, throne and dominion. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The bridegroom carries away his glorious bride, the head of the corner, the head of the church, head of every man, true light and that lighteth every man which cometh into the world. He's the highest place of authority. True light that lighteth every man which cometh into the world. High, he's the great high priest. He is our Passover. He is the first fruits of them that slept. The first begotten from the dead. The resurrection and the life. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ has brought to us the hope of eternal life. Name of Jesus includes Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the first and he's the last. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. A name greater than prophets and kings, higher than men or angels. Everything we do or say can be done in the name above all other names. In the name of Jesus Christ. A name which involves salvation. It is a privilege to use this lovely name. Don't take it for granted, my friend. It's a high privilege to understand the name of Jesus. Just how precious that name is. He has allowed us to apply that name to our lives in baptism. And it was a high privilege to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's a necessary event to be saved. Amen. Use it when you pray for the sick. And lift it up in worship when you praise, give praise unto God. Use the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm ending with this in conclusion. The world spurns the name of Jesus. Sometimes people, when something bad happens, they use the name of Jesus as a negative in what's going on. Man, don't use his name vainly. Don't use his name without purpose. When you say the name of Jesus, it is powerful. Mean it when you say the name of Jesus. But yet, the world does that, but the church doesn't do that. The church uses his name with purpose. To the church, the name of Jesus Christ. You see, we are the blood-bought bride of Christ. I was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by his name that I am saved. It is the most meaningful name in all of existence. The name Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me? Why don't we right now, just in the last 30 seconds, last minute of the service, call on the name of Jesus. Would you do that with me? Jesus, I worship you.